We don't need you to be voting for something for us at all. We know people care about us. We don't want you to be making an emotional decision thinking, oh, well, if I say yes, I'm helping the Aboriginal people. No, you're not. It won't have anything to do with us. It'll actually make it worse.
Hello and welcome to The Third Opinion. This week, we are honoured to be interviewing Grandmother Mulara, who is a senior Aboriginal law woman who also holds a degree in law. Hello, Grandmother Mulara. Can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's an honour to have you on the show. So, you know, you're here to share with us your views on this very important issue that we are in the middle of deciding as individuals and as a nation. And I would love to hear what you have to say about, first of all, about yourself, if you can introduce yourself, and then we can have a chat about what is the voice, what does that mean, and what are the other options ahead for us.
Well, thank you for the invitation. So, as you said, my name is Grandmother Mulara. I am grandmother because I have been given the grandmother teachings of our law, L-O-R-E, and that came to me from over 50 years of sitting at the feet of elders, the senior law teachers, mostly women but some men, all around Australia. So a bit unusual in that I received wisdom and knowledge from our old people in a way that was very special, and I was selected. And I had to go through a lot of tests to reach the level that I'm at. It wasn't through any particular plan of mine. It was their plan, and I can now look back and see what they were up to. No. At the time, I didn't realise it. So I'm originally from South Australia, though. My bloodlines come from Scottish, Irish, Afghani, from the Afghani Cameleers that opened up the centre of Australia, mm-hmm. Aboriginal, and that's what we know from my mother's side. My father, who was also removed, as my mother was, from an early age, we don't know what his lineage was. So that's about the best I can do. But, yeah, I come from a mixed lineage.
And from that place, you have been given the honour of becoming a senior Aboriginal law woman. What does that mean? You are also a lawyer. You hold a degree in law. So I'm very interested in the difference between the two. There's law, as in L-O-R-E, which is a concept which is Indigenous, and then there's law, which is a British concept. So could you please explain for us what the difference is of the two?
Mm-hmm. So L-O-R-E is like the law of the land. We are guided by nature, so it comes from natural law, universal law, spiritual law is the law, L-O-R-E. And that is the one under which all of those who are original to this land that we come from. But I also want to say for your listeners, if you were born on this land, you also come under the law of this land. And I'm one of those law holders. I'm not the only one. And to reach that level of seniority that I now am, it's because I've gone through many levels of initiation, and I now have been given various, not just knowledge, but I've been given spiritual acumen. You know, there's various things that various secrets that I hold and various things that I can do, but I hold it on behalf of everyone. As a senior, I became a senior and then grandmother when my main law elder passed away. I then stepped into her shoes. So that gives me that seniority.
So when you said you've been given that, is it a role and responsibility to be passing on a understanding to the people of this nation?
Culturally, since the dawn of time, the law has come from the stars, a star law. Mm. And the teachings we have come from that place. The language that we have has come from the birds. They gave us the language. And the land, the water running over rocks gave us language. We developed that over all of those many, many thousands of years, and we pass it on. But to hold law means you hold everyone to a certain degree of behavior and responsibility. Mm. If we don't work together according to the law, we breach that law, then we, old way, we would say that you are threatening the survival of the clan, of the tribe. And the law was our, it's like our rules. They were the way in which we understood how everything in life interacts with each other. You know, why it is that the totems that we carry, that we have to look after. Our main mission was to keep everything alive. Mm. And so we had in our particular area, which some are calling a nation, but that word comes from the Native American Indian understanding. It's not a word we used to use, but I'll use it for the modern context, that a particular nation had an area bounded by song lines. In that area, they had their responsibility was to keep everything alive in that area. That's the easiest way to talk about it. So, versus colonial law, the other law, which is the corporate model, is man-made. Mm. It doesn't come from natural law.
And I guess that's represented by what's happened to the natural world under that law.
I guess so.
Tell us about what's happening now, because for the listeners, you know, it's very confusing. People are hearing that voting yes is a vote to support Aboriginal well-being, health and voice. And, you know, there are many different voices that we're all hearing. And I'm very curious, because of your position and also your understanding of both the law and the law, to explain to us what is the, what does this mean, and what's the way, what's the best way forward?
Well, first of all, the tribal elders, the real elders, were not consulted about this, okay? And if you're going to make a decision about a body of people, surely those people have a say. Okay, so first of all, there was no consent.
So when you say the real elders, can you explain who they are? Because I understand there are 250 different tribes or different nations. Like, what does that mean? Because that's where I guess the confusion is, isn't it? Because we're hearing political voices, but we're not hearing the voices of people like you.
So the political voices we call them the corporate blacks. These are the ones who are that you're hearing from, who have a political agenda. And the political agenda, they don't represent the people. They don't represent their particular people. They are only representing themselves and a corporation view that's not representing the tribal view. So we have land councils of the same. They represent a corporate view. They are corporations. In order to have legal personality, you have to be incorporated. And tribal people, the real elders, are not part of that system. The real elders, the tribal elders, have their own governance. We have our own law. We have our own systems of law. And that law, L-O-R-E is what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. we all know our place in relationship to each other, and we all have a responsibility. Old way, traditionally, we would have been given certain tasks that was ours to look after or ours to keep or ours to develop throughout our lifetime, and then we would pass it on, because it's meant, all of the wisdom and the knowledge is meant to be passed on. That's how come, as an oral culture, we know the stories of long ago, because we've lived it. Some still live it and many don't. the old ways, and those old ways gave us the strength to be who we are today. And those old ways where they haven't been followed doesn't give strength to other tribes. So the land councils have been developed by the corporate government to control the interests, their interests, the corporation interests, over the wealth of the land. Now, this voice push is actually to create a corporate body, another corporate body. There are over 3,000 Aboriginal corporate bodies in this country. We don't need another one. But this one is being created not for anything to do with us or anything to do with our plight. It's to do with creating a body called the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Voice as a body, a corporate body. And in that corporate body, they will their corporation, which is government, is a corporation. It will select the corporate blacks representatives to be in that corporate body, but that goes against our law.
So how does that go against the law? Because I understand that within each Indigenous tribal community, you have your elders, and there's your own way of working together within your own communities, but in terms of interacting, there's no one body that governs all Aboriginal communities. So is that in great conflict to your current the current system that you have? Can you explain that? Because I guess most Australians are used to there being a government, a prime minister. So can you explain the differences?
There's so many layers to this.
Yeah.
You've actually answered the question by asking the question. but I want to go to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my other law hat. Changing a constitution is serious. You only do it if you really, really have a genuine platform. This is not a genuine platform. We are already on the constitution. The referendum in 1967 gave Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people a voice. They came in and got recognised that they could have a vote. So that gave them legal standing,
mm-hmm.
just like your listeners, to be able to vote if mm-hmm. they chose to. A lot of them don't. But if they choose to vote, they can. So we've already gone through that process, that constitutional change. This is a furphy. This is a change for something that none of us really know. There's been no details. And I would never, ever sign a check, for example, sign a contract without knowing the details of what I'm signing.
Mm.
There's no details.
Mm.
So what we're doing, a yes vote would give a corporate government complete open door, an open door to anything they wanted, and they would do it through this corporate body called The Voice.
I'm hearing that first of all, that there isn't trust, that because what a lot of people seem to be responding when you say there's no details, they'll say we have to trust it's going the right way. But our ex-Prime Minister, John Howard, has said about this a few months ago that there were two main issues, that it was going to create a racial divide was number one, but number two, it was opening up the possibility of judicial adventurism. And he's very critical of the Prime Minister because he said he's unwilling to explain what's involved and that it could create a new cockpit of conflict itself. So even he is saying that, and he's really sort of, you know, very skeptical about this. And he said there is more to this than meets the eye. So it sounds like you also hold this view.
John Howard is right. For once, I'm hearing myself say John Howard is right.
Yes.
He's correct. It's an open door to do whatever they want to, as he says, judicial adventurism. Like, they can just make up their own mind what that might be interpreted as. It's deadly dangerous to be changing a constitution with no details. And our people really do not want a contract with a corporation. We want to keep our sovereignty. What will happen, a yes vote, if it should win, gives our sovereignty to that body, which is a corporation, to make decisions for us. That is our law, L-O-R-E, of this land. We hold that responsibility. They're trying to trick us by saying, oh, well, we'll create this body over here that will make a difference to your people. No, it won't. They could do that. They don't need to have a constitutional change.
So you're saying, you're saying that the positive changes can happen in other ways without the risk of changing the constitution.
Yes, and why haven't they? Look at how much money has been thrown at the Yes campaign. Mm. What could have happened with that money if they truly believed what their mouth is saying? That money could have been put into all sorts of wonderful projects, and that could really change the life of our people. And instead, they're going for this. We're really trying to cajole everybody into an emotional decision. Oh, yeah, we want to do what's right for our black people. Well, this isn't right. This is not going to change anything for us. And, in fact, let me tell you, I had my video taken down with my voice taken down by the corporate government. They didn't like what I had to say earlier this week. Then I get a request from the libraries of Australia to actually get a copy of the video for perpetuity so that people in Australia can access that video forever. So get that.
There's a lot of confusion. What?
Yeah.
So how are you, what's been your experience of other Aboriginal elders, you know, that there is this, I mean, it's presented as if, I mean, in the media, we're told that 80% of Aboriginal Indigenous people are voting yes.
No,
is that true?
They made that up. No, they made that up. Has anybody seen any evidence of that? I think if you really look with your eyes open, you'll see evidence where the tribal elders say no.
Mm.
Everyone I've spoken to, and everyone that's contacted me, say no. But one positive thing that's happened is that this voice has brought those of us who didn't have a reason to be in contact with each other in contact.
Mm.
So there's more of us that are now talking together against the voice, but are realizing that we're all on the same page about making sure that we retain our sovereignty, that we maintain our tribal council governance and our systems of law, and that we support each other right way.
So how would that look looking going forward? So for those
the way that it's always the way that it's always looked.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, native title has torn us apart.
Can you
it's
explain
created conflict?
Can you explain the native title and how that's impacted you?
So the native title was a creature of the UN, United Nations, as was the Uluru Statement, and the voice is also come from the UN. And it is a way in which they can corporatise. So I'll step back a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that you could trade with something is if you own it, right? If you're just a custodian, then you don't own something. You can't give it away and you can't trade it on a commercial basis.
Mm-hmm.
So if by making you an owner, then, oh, yeah, you're an owner of that area, then we can trade with you. So under native title legislation, they turned traditional custodians into traditional owners. We don't own anything.
Mm-hmm.
The land owns us. The waters own us. We don't own it. And it's been a misnomer and devilish even, to create this concept of ownership so that we could sell off country or trade it, you know, for the mining riches that are in the wealth of our land. And that is why they had to develop corporations, the land councils, so that they had a corporation to trade with a corporation, to contract with a corporation. There's another word for that. It's called treaty.
Mm.
A treaty under a corporate model is to have a contract with other corporations. So even the word treaty is a misnomer. We can treaty as a private in our private capacity as a tribal council, or even just as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can treaty with an individual, or our tribal council can treaty with people who live, who've come to live in their area. That's our business. And that is not got any commercial exchange involved. It's about giving permission and an agreement that you'll live by our law, and that you will not harm the environment, you will not harm our animals,
mm-hmm.
You'll take care of country, and you'll take care of each other. You know, there's that sort of an agreement.
Mm.
That's our form of treaty.
Mm.
The government's form of treaty is a commercial enterprise, and it's a contract. We don't want any part of that.
So you said before, the land owns us. This is such a unusual concept for a corporate a country where we're used to thinking that we own things, and you're saying those things, as in nature, owns us. Tell me about how that, because that changes everything, doesn't it? It changes the way that you think about the things around you. It changes the way you think about yourself, and this sounds like an incredibly valuable gift that might counter the, you know, what's happened as a consequence of us living in a, you know, highly consumer-driven corporation society. So can you tell me more about that?
It comes back to the fact that acknowledging that Earth is a sentient being.
Mm.
The waterways are sentient beings. So the Earth herself is a sentient being. All plant life are sentient beings. All our animals are sentient beings, just as we are. You know, that we acknowledge the life of all. And when we say that the land owns us, it's because our blood is the land. We come from the land. In a funny way, it's like that. Like we were born of the land.
Mm.
And that's why we can say that that's our country. That, you know, we come from that place. We're born from that place. And it's we say that we are the land, and the land is us. It's a difficult concept for someone who's not been brought up that way.
Mm.
But for us, it's fundamental. It's about our relationship with all living things. We have a really strong kinship law, our relationship law. Is a fundamental law of our tribal people, and it's about how we fit in with each other and how we fit into the fabric of life. We are part of the ecosystem. We are not the dominant, although we try to be in a corporate model. We are not the dominant species here, and we are by far not the only ones that can that think and have a heart and a brain. A whale, and my totem is a white whale,
mm-hmm.
The whale has the biggest heart of all of the species.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a notion of natural law. It's fundamental.
So the sacredness and the way that a Indigenous community will care for the land and have sacred places, this seems to be part of the conflict, doesn't it? Because that's not at all respected naturally by the corporation, from what we've seen in the past in Australia.
No, well, a corporation is commercial enterprise. The courts are commercial entities. You know, when you go to court to a corporate, you're going to a corporation court, and it's all about it's commerce.
Mm.
It's all about commerce. So. A corporation, this might be a bit hard for your listeners to grab hold of, but mm-hmm. let me just put it in another context.
Mm-hmm.
A corporation is a dead entity, right? It's man-made, a dead entity. It works on paperwork. Against that is our law, which is living and breathing and has us as a living, breathing spirit, soul, whatever you want to call it. And that's very different to the dead entity. So to incorporate our people is to then put them into a dead box, an entity that is not living. And it comes under the rules of that corporation. The rules of the corporation they have called a constitution. So every corporation has a constitution. It has a charter to the corporation, the rule book. And our what they did in 1973 without our knowledge was change the the constitution. People think that we're voting on the original constitution, the founding one, but we're not. That's in a cupboard. We've actually got two constitutions to this country. I've got a lot of this information on my website. Mm-hmm. So if you go to grandmotherwisdom.com / 1973 constitution changes.
Okay.
With a dash but between each word.
Grandmotherwisdom.com. Yep. And
/ 1973 dash constitution dash changes.
And you say we, so you're obviously working with some other people around this, some other lawyers on this at the moment?
Yeah, I'm not disclosing anybody else.
Okay. And okay, so here I found it, and there's a lot of information here and insights into that, and there's a whole bunch of
And you'll see there that there is the statement by Kim Beazley.
Excellent. Thank you. And also former Chief Justice of the High Court of Australia determined that the corporate Australian government is not the lawful government under the Crown. Jackie mm-hmm. Dundee talking about the reading of the change of the Constitution and a lot of other things which are invisible.
Which
might be of interest. Okay. So here we are. So let's go back though to the voice, because I think for most people this would be difficult to understand. And I'm just curious about how we can, look at what's the benefit? What are other ways to move forward in terms of bettering the education and the health and the circumstances for the Aboriginal nations?
Well, it's not the voice.
Okay.
Definitely not the voice.
So
the voice will mm-hmm. – so let me just go finish off with the native title, rounding that up.
Yes.
Under native title, there is – you cannot have any private property.
Okay.
So they are gradually – rolling out native title over Australia. And a lot of us don't agree with it,
mm-hmm.
but they're gradually rolling that over mm-hmm. all of Australia with the voice body. It's a body, a corporation body is what they're saying. That body will then take over all of Australia. All right, so under native title, no one will have private property. Just it becomes communal property. That is the current situation under native title. All right. So having said that and given enough warnings mm-hmm. about going, in this campaign,
mm-hmm.
clearly the answer is to vote no. We know people care about us. We don't need you to be voting for something for us at all. We know people care about us. We don't want you to be making an emotional decision thinking, oh, well, if I say yes, I'm helping the Aboriginal people. No, you're not. It won't have anything to do with us. It'll actually make it worse. What we want to see happening
mm-hmm.
is for each group, each community mm-hmm. of people
mm-hmm.
to meet with our local tribal people, the real elders, a la not the land council, but those who hold tribal law. The land councils do not hold tribal law. Our law keepers tend not to be in that sort of situation. We are holding law in a different way, in a very spiritually, strong way, with an integrity mm-hmm. to the spiritual law
mm-hmm.
of the land. And so we can see a future where groups of people in the community-based would meet with our local elders, our local tribal council. I can't think of another word to call it at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we'll see. And that we forge an agreement together. So in what I see our tribal people being able to do is it's almost like equivalent to the naturalisation process that's currently happens, where we can bring people under our tribe, come into the law,
mm-hmm.
come into it right way, and be welcomed into the law of that land, but understand that there are some cultural protocols to follow. You know, what are they? Learn them. Learn something about our culture. Learn some of our language. The land loves to hear the language, its original language. It comes alive when you speak language to it.
And this is different in each of the the different natures. So you have to understand. Yeah. So rather than us being one country, it's like we are a continent with many different countries within.
Yes, that's a good point.
What would you like to see?
I would love to see the tribal councils grow, that they become how they used to be in governance, which is circular, and that they find a way to welcome newcomers in and adopt them into the tribe. So we've always had a history of adoption.
Mm-hmm.
We've adopted a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
and we've also looked after people. We looked after the early explorers. They would have died if it wasn't for the local people to look after them and feed them, because they didn't know how to look after themselves on the land, and as raw as it was. And so, you know, we've always kind of been that kind of people that welcomed others in. Unfortunately, with everything that's happened to our people over the last 230 years, and particularly the efforts to wipe out the blacks, that there was a deliberate effort to get rid of what they called the native problem. We've always been welcoming, despite all of that mm-hmm. that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everyone can learn to live together in harmony and not be taking from each other.
Mm.
This corporate model takes.
Mm.
It's taking from people.
Mm-hmm.
We've unfortunately now got some generations of our own people who've experienced not just white colonization, but black colonization.
Mm.
They've had things taken from them on one level and taken again on another level.
Mm.
And they're left with nothing. They're bereft. They're bereft of resources. They're bereft of housing. They're bereft of food. They're bereft sometimes of their own families. The elders who told me about the prophecy of the new dreaming, and I guess that is what I'm talking about, that the new dreaming was a time when black fella, white fella, yellow fella, red fella would all be walking together. And we'd be walking together under the black fella law, Illawarri, that's returned in a new way. And that time is now. And that is what is the momentum behind speaking about coming together and all colours coming together, sitting together, but under the law of this land. The voice is not that. It's anything but that. That'll take it all away. We must come together in unity. And that way we will find a way to live in harmony and peace and unity. And then there'll be a growth, I feel, of the strength of a people, of who we truly are and what we represent. And look, it has to be taught. You know, there's a lot of our people who don't know it.
Mm.
They know that it's inherently wrong what's mm-hmm. going on,
mm-hmm.
but their elders have not been able to pass it on either.
Mm.
So, we're really trying to revive our original law everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of parts of Australia where it is going well,
mm-hmm.
where it's operating, mm-hmm. you know, it is in place, but there's a heck of a lot of places where it's not or where it's been lost,
mm-hmm.
and we're wanting to recover that. I really implore people to, I don't want to tell you what to do, but I do want you to consider strongly to vote no.
Grandmother Mulara, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here with us today and sharing your insights and your wisdom. And I hope that the right thing happens for everyone and for our nation and for our tribal elders and for the nations that they represent.
This is
the Third Opinion Uncensored, and we're on JAIR Radio 88.0 and it's a Jewish community radio station on the web, j-air.com.au, and you can listen to this again and share this with your friends and people who might be looking to understand in a deeper way than the government's advertising campaigns, which, as John Howard said, is not really dealing with the issues at a deeper level. Thank you for listening, and thank you, Grandmother Molara, for being here with us today.
Yep. Thank you for the opportunity. Bye. Bye-bye.